Time for Dial-A-Doc. That takes us to FHN. And Dr. Terry Donat, he specializes in ear, nose, and throat. Good morning, doctor. How are you today, sir?
Oh, good morning, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Nice to have you with us on a breezy day. And I'm guessing that affects ears on occasion. But we'll start off with this, Dr. Donat. You specialized in otolaryngology, that's ear, nose, throat, for the rest of us at FHN. What exactly does this specialty entail, doctor?
So the specialty primarily deals with problems involving the nose and the sinuses, the throat, swallowing, and then glands such as the spit gland and the thyroid gland, and other cancers of the face and head and neck that we deal with. But primarily it's the sinuses and nose that I was interested in talking about today.
Many people think of allergy season as being during the spring and the fall, but the winter can be also miserable for people who have indoor allergies and are spending all their time indoors because of the weather. So what kinds of allergies are more prevalent during the winter months, doctor?
So typically we see those allergies that people experience either because of materials that are in the home or occasionally molds. People find molds, dust, and of course dust mites that might be in that we constantly live on materials that we shed our skin on, unfortunately. And then, of course, pets. We've all got pets, and we might have some members of the family that absolutely love them and other members of the family that wish they weren't around.
Yeah, that could be an issue for folks. How should someone decide if whatever over-the-counter allergy remedies they're using are not enough and they should see a professional health care provider?
I think what's great about most of the over-the-counter medications is that they are very effective. The nasal steroids became available in the 90s and the 2000s, that being over-the-counter, and antihistamines are very, very safe. Usually when people find that the over-the-counter medications they're using as prescribed for over-the-counter use aren't effective, or they're having some side effect as a result of those, then they may want to seek out treatment to find out other alternatives.
What types of treatments can you offer people with persistent allergy problems?
So sometimes it's just a matter of using the same type of medication or offered over the counter in a different way, either different dosing, greater dosing, or more frequent, under supervision of a professional. And then other times it's finding out other medications which are not available by over the counter but available by prescription. More commonly, though, we're seeing treatments that are now procedure related, directed toward the cause of drainage and nasal obstruction as dealing with the nerves in the nose. And that's been a new treatment that's been available now for about the last 4 or 5 years.
Interesting. How does extreme cold, like cryotherapy, reduce nasal allergy symptoms? And can you tell us what this is and how does this work in an outpatient surgery? How long does it take and what type of anesthesia is used? Quite a few questions to throw at you at once.
Yeah. That's okay. So cryotherapy is what we use is a balloon that's inflated with some carbon dioxide. And that carbon dioxide freezes. And what we can do is put it at specific places in the nose where we know that the nerve that runs into the nose that controls congestion and the amount of mucus we make and the amount of stuffiness that we feel, the nerve sensitivity and how well it works can actually be reduced. Doesn't mean we eliminate it, but we can certainly reduce it. That nerve controls the production of mucus, much like when you cry, your nose gets stuffy and you get mucus production and you feel full. Those things also occur with allergies, of course. We don't eliminate that, but in about 80% of people, we can reduce those significantly over the course of at least 2 years or more.
It sounds interesting. Maybe not as much allergies as more what it does to the nerve and what that then does as far as mucus accumulation and that type of thing.
Well, initially it was designed just to look at how our brain controls the drainage in the nose. There's something called vasomotor rhinitis, which is something where our brain controls the mucus production in our nose, much like when we go out in the cold, we suddenly produce a lot more mucus. Some people get that, especially as we get older, when they're exposed to warm soups or certain perfumes that they're not allergic to, but they actually start getting congestion in the nose, and we can reduce that. And the procedure is done under a local anesthetic in the office setting. The actual procedure takes about 5 minutes, but it takes about 15 to 20 minutes to put topical medication to numb up the inside of the nose so that people can have it comfortably.
That seems minimally invasive for sure. All right.
Yeah, it is.
What about people that get nosebleeds certain times of the year, but maybe even especially more now this time of year? Is that an allergy type thing, or is that a totally different related thing?
So it can be allergy, because allergy is underlying inflammation by definition, and that certainly predisposes people. The great thing that we have about our modern environment is we have homes where we keep things nice and cool and dry in the summer, and then we keep them nice and warm and dry in the winter. And unfortunately, whether it's our young kids or whether people are older and on aspirin or anticoagulation, we're more prone to nosebleeds because of it.
All right.
And certainly, those can be treated by saline spray and Vaseline.
Oh, okay. So it is something that you, and that's something somebody could just kind of carry with them when they get a nosebleed, or is it more ahead of a schedule, like before you get a nosebleed, you do use that?
Both. You can try and prevent it if you find your nose is dry, if you feel dry, but also if you get a nosebleed initially, you can start doing that. If it becomes more persistent, not so much you have to go to the emergency room, but just persistent, you can certainly come and see us. We can find out where the problem lies.
Okay. You also have new treatments available for vasomotor rhinitis, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And what is this condition? What causes it? And how is it different from an allergic reaction?
Yeah, so I alluded to it a little bit earlier. I sort of perceptive you there. The vasomotor rhinitis is how our brain controls mucus production in the nose, and that varies for each individual. Certainly, when you change in humidity or you change in temperature suddenly, or as I mentioned, you're exposed. Your classic example is you eat spicy food. Then you get drainage from the nose. Now, we don't do that to eliminate spicy food drainage, but for people who have persistent sense of nasal drainage, congestion, obstruction, it really reduces the symptoms, and people find that they don't need to take as much or any of the antihistamines, decongestants, and nasal sprays anymore.
Excellent. Do the types of surgeries cure allergies, or essentially just make the symptoms disappear?
So I wish we had something to cure allergies, but our best goal is to try and alleviate symptoms that are really bothersome. There are a lot of people that sometimes find they have allergies on testing, but they have no allergies in real life and as far as symptoms. And so we treat those allergies by trying to get people to avoid the things they are allergic to. And then the main thing is to treat symptoms that are bothersome, but we can't eliminate them completely.
We're visiting with Dr. Terry Donat, specialist in ear, nose, and throat. Some complications, doctor. Say somebody has issues with nasal congestion and stuffy throat and all that. What happens when it drains into the chest? Does that become something else that you have to work on?
So really, what's sort of odd is that, or what people most people don't know, is we create about a pint of mucus in our nose every day. Luckily, not all at the same time. And while it's designed to drain into our throat, the feeling of it draining can sometimes lead us to have the sensation that there's something in our throat. Though it really doesn't get into our lungs, it can often lead to people sort of habitually throat clearing. And so that's a problem that some people can find themselves in. We usually like to make sure that there's no medical problem before we just attribute it to allergies.
All right. For people, how can they learn more, doctor, or set up an appointment to visit with you?
Sure. They can certainly call my office at 815-599-7770 or go on our website at fhn.org. And I encourage people to go on the web to look up cryotherapy or Clarafix, C-L-A-R-A-F-I-X.
And I'm guessing some people maybe could lead an easier to breathe life, if you will. Do some people kind of ignore some of these symptoms and it could be taken care of somewhat easily?
Yeah, people do tend to ignore it because it tends not to be something that is immediate. They tend to be more bothered by things during allergy seasons, or sometimes when they lay down in bed more at night than during the day. And we certainly see people of all ages for these problems. So certainly people don't try and get treatment as early in their life as they could be.
We've been visiting with Dr. Tony Donat, MD, FACS, FICS, ear, nose, and throat specialist. What is that actually called, doctor?
Excuse me, ear, nose, and otolaryngology?
Oh, yes, thank you. Tough word for me, so I stuck with the ear,
That's
nose,
fine.
And throat. Pleasure talking with you, doctor. Anybody else would like any information, you can go to fhn.org. And why don't I have you give that phone number one more time also, doctor, if you would.
Sure. It's 815-599-7770.
This has been Dial-A-Doc with FHN and Dr. Terry Donat. Terry, thanks so much for joining us today, sir, and I hope to talk with you again soon, okay?
Thank you very much for having me, Dan.
You're very welcome.